Good morning, and welcome again to Mornings for the Master, a program heard each weekday here on the Gospel Radio Network. Mornings for the Master has a different host each day of the week and a different course of study. And here on our Thursday morning editions of Mornings for the Master, we are currently studying the book of Titus. And we are in chapter 1. Today we're going to begin with verse 10 and go through the end of the chapter. We are considering today those who rebel against authority. And this has been a common problem throughout the centuries. Now, as we go to our text, let's begin with verse 10 and go through the end of the chapter. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Now, Paul, in writing to Titus, first wanted to remind Titus that what he is talking about here is the very reason that he was left on the island of Crete. Remember, previously from our last program, if you go back to verse 5, where Paul said, For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Now, in instructing Titus to appoint elders in the various cities, he proceeded to give him the qualifications of those who would be appointed as elders. Now notice verses 6 through 9. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Now, the remainder of chapter 1, which we're discussing today, points out the need for such elders. And the need is because of those who are described as insubordinate. Look at verse 10. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. We might consider that was one of the family qualities that was required of an elder, that their children not be insubordinate. For again, if he cannot deal with insubordination in his own family, how is he going to prevent and such within the family of God? For as verse 10 describes, there are many who are this way. It says they are idle talkers. We have no shortage of those today. They are deceivers. We have no shortage of those. And he says, especially those of the circumcision. Those who had every advantage, yet had the worst problem. And yet in the church today, those blessed with being a part of the church of the Lord, many of those who raised from a child are often the most insubordinate of all. And what we find out is that these insubordinate individuals were having a very negative impact upon the churches on the Isle of Crete. And Paul points out to Titus that action must be taken in dealing with these individuals. In verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. Now, what does it really mean to be insubordinate? You know, in many companies, one of the things that can bring about the termination of an employee is insubordination. An organization cannot effectively function when individuals are insubordinate. So, one who is insubordinate would be one who refuses to submit to authority. In fact, even rebelling against authority. The act of insubordination would thus be to become disobedient, the act of it, and to become resistant to authority in whatever the situation may be. Now, of course, in the context here in the book of Titus, to be insubordinate, or the act of insubordination, would mean those who refuse to submit to the authority of the apostles of Christ. Insubordination is the willful disregard and rejection of the authority of the apostles of Christ. Now, the true church, the faithful believers in the early church, we are told, continued steadfastly in the teaching and the authority of the apostles. Notice Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, in the time shortly after the church was established on the day of Pentecost. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. The scripture tells us that the apostles were inspired. The words were given to them by the Holy Spirit. And the teachings of the apostles were to be considered just the same as if they were the words of the Lord himself. Recall in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in verse 37 as Paul reminds the brethren there that if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. Also, consider what Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Now, this was a problem in the first century church. But make no mistake about it. Their descendants are throughout the church today in the spiritual sense. Insubordination is a real problem in congregations today. And so, it would behoove us well to give careful thought to what Paul has to say to Titus on this subject. So let's begin now today by considering just exactly who these insubordinates are and who it is that is guilty of insubordination. Now, one of the identifiers of the insubordinate would certainly be their character. What is the character of the insubordinate? Those who practice insubordination. Their character is clearly seen. Paul told Titus that in the congregations there in Crete, these individuals could be identified because they were idle talkers and they were deceivers, and we can certainly find them today. As verse 10 points out, for there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Today, again, most often they come from within the body. They are, as Albert Barnes noted in his commentary, he said these individuals are more given to talk than practical religion. And I have seen many of these individuals through the years, and I would suspect you have too. They are not honest. And also, they are generally working diligently in some way to try to deceive others and to pull them to their evil deeds and their false doctrines. And according to Paul, it had become obvious that this type of conduct had filtered all throughout the character of those who were living on the island of Crete. Consider verse 12. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Oh, haven't we seen that today? Those who says that group, that bunch is always liars. They're lazy, they're beast. It's been said about those from different areas, those of different color, those of different background, nationality, and all alike. Of those who are conservative in nature, of those who come from any ilk. But this was definitely true among those of the circumcision. Among those Judaizers who were working in various ways in an attempt to bind the law of Moses on the Gentiles. That which, of course, Peter and James and the other apostles would wrestle over in the Jerusalem council. Do you recall and at that council in Acts chapter 15 and verse 1? And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Nothing could be further from the truth of what the apostles taught. And we recall that in that meeting, as they deliberated over this, there in chapter 15, notice what Peter said there beginning in verse 9, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Man, especially even many in the church, even today, still are of similar mindset. We find that their minds and consciences were defiled. Now back in our text for today, notice verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. But this is actually the natural consequence of deceiving others. Their minds and their consciences, Paul said, have become corrupted. And notice how Paul describes such people as this. Go back to his first letter to Timothy. And in chapter 6, let's begin with verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourselves. The fact is, these individuals had become abominable and disobedient, as we see in verse 16. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. They are abominable, which means they are detestable to God. They are disobedient, meaning that they are unwilling to be persuaded and obey. They are guilty of those six things that are an abomination to God that the proverb writer spoke of in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. These insubordinate were disqualified for every good work, according to verse 16. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. In saying they are disqualified, is saying they are literally reprobate or worthless. They are of no value to God, though he created us to walk in good works. They have not produced such. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." But what about in the church today? Those who resist the authority of the word today are, again, more likely to be given to talk than doing. We should be casting an eye upon those who are prone to be talkers and not doers. They not only deceive others, but also they deceive themselves. James chapter 1, notice beginning in verse 22. "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." If that is the case, if one chooses to follow them, it will also make their religion useless. We must realize that resisting the authority of God's word is a very serious offense, and it has the potential of great harm. Let's consider the damage that is done by the insubordinate. Notice just there in the congregations in Crete, we find that they were subverting whole households. Verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. These insubordinates lead faithful Christians away from the faith. And, according to verse 11, we're not just talking about individuals, but instead entire families away from the faith. Paul said that they were teaching things that they ought not to, and they were doing it for dishonest gain. But that should not be a surprise to us, for men are often motivated more by the desire for popularity or financial gain than they are truth. And when that is your primary motivator, then you will become more and more willing to teach things that are simply not true. And this is happening today. Insubordinates are also motivated, again, by popularity, financial gain. And so they will teach others often what they want to hear rather than the Word of God. And again, as Paul pointed out, their influence does not just stop with one or two, but they impact entire families. And in most congregations, when you impact two or three families, entire families, the overall impact is great and damaging. But now, when there is insubordination, people that are insubordinate in a congregation, how then should we act toward them? How are they to be treated? Let's see what Titus was instructed. Titus was told by Paul that their mouths were to be stopped. According to Barnes in his commentary, he said it means properly to check or curb, as with a bridle, to restrain or bridle in, and then to put them to silence. Now, obviously, it is to be done the correct way, in the proper scriptural way, and in accordance with the spirit of the gospel. But they were to be rebuked sharply. Notice verse 13. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Elders have a great responsibility in this area to protect the flock, but individuals must be on guard for their own souls. For often today, elderships are too often unqualified and weak and lack backbone. And when this happens, the individual Christian is left without a line of defense except his own self. Barnes also noted that the reproof should be such as would be understood and would show them plainly the wickedness of such traits of character. He was not to be mealy-mouthed, but he was to call things by their right names and to not spare their faults. The goal in dealing with these individuals was to help them to be sound in the faith. When we confront error, our objective is to saving the one in error, not just stopping the spread of error. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. This was the duty, not just of Titus, but of the elders. Again, chapter 1, here in Titus in verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. The elders must be able to do this. Too often today, we fail to take insubordination seriously. We must stop the spread of false teaching by addressing it and not avoiding it. We must have in view the salvation of those guilty of insubordination and error. This duty falls to evangelists and elders. And when the insubordinate fail to repent, then withdrawal is the final option. Remember, as Paul commanded the church in Rome, in Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Also, remember the command given to the church in Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 14 and 15 say, and if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And so, as we bring everything together today, as we close out chapter 1, we have seen that those who resist the authority of God's word hurt themselves by corrupting their minds and their consciences. And they bring harm on those that they influence through their teaching. Those that act in an insubordinate fashion must be stopped. They must be rebuked sharply in the hope that they will change and become sound in the faith. But if they do not repent, then it is necessary that the faithful church withdraw themselves from them. And let's remember that elders and evangelists are especially charged with the responsibility of dealing with the insubordinate. But every Christian should be on guard against the harmful influence of those that are disobedient and are resistant to the authority of God's Word. Next week, if the Lord wills, we will enter into chapter 2 of the book of Titus. I want you to remember that our program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. It'll be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. And I want to encourage you to tune in again tomorrow at this same 9 a.m. Central Standard Time and join Brother Chip Horton for another well-prepared and highly useful lesson for our daily life. Tune in throughout the day today for the programming here on the network. And remember, if the Lord wills, I'll see you again next week at this same time. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a great day.